Yivamis Perik Yud Mishnah Dalad, Zechnish Mas Esther Bashalom. Today's Mishnayos are a little long, but we'll do our best. We had the disappearing husband in previous Mishnayos, now the disappearing wife. Misha Holcha Ishal Medina Sayam. Somebody has a wife and she goes away overseas. Uvo Va'omrulo, and they come and they tell him, two Edim come and tell him that Mesa Ishtacha, your wife is dead. So in the other cases, the woman then committed adultery. If he marries another woman, that's not adultery. That's a polygamy, which is allowed for a man. But v'nosa asachosa, when he then gets married, he decides, I'm going to marry her sister instead. Now, as long as one's wife is alive, it's an erva punishable by kares if he marries the sister. But in this case, he thinks she's dead. V'achakach bas ishto, and then his wife shows up, and she comes back home, and all of a sudden he realizes that he shouldn't be married to the sister, and that every time he was with her was incest, essentially. Muteres lachzer lo, the original wife is allowed to return to her husband, keeps her ksuba, everything is fine. Hu mutar bekrovo shaniya, he is allowed to marry the relatives of his second wife who wasn't really a wife, meaning his sister-in-law is no longer his wife, she's his sister-in-law again. So he could marry her daughter or her granddaughter or any of the other relatives. Normally a shnios la'erva would be usher from his own wife, so he couldn't marry his wife's daughter. But since his sister-in-law was never really his wife, it's considered basically that they had an extramarital affair instead. So now her daughter is mutter to him because it's not his stepdaughter. It's the relative of somebody he had an affair with. So that does not count. Ushnia muteres bekrovav. And the second woman can marry his relatives like his son because she is not considered the son's father's wife since she's not married to the guy. So therefore, the son is considered a stranger and she could marry him. Again, very weird, but still halakhically permissible. Then Mesa Rishona, if the first wife dies, Mutar Bishnia, he can now marry the second sister. The prohibition of Achos Ishto is only if the wife is still alive. But once the wife is dead, he could remarry her and live not in sin anymore. Amru lo, Mesa Ishtacha. Once again, guy's wife went away, and they tell him, your wife died. V'nosa sachosa, and he marries the sister. V'achakach amru lo, and then afterwards they come to him, kayemes hoisa v'mesa, and they tell him that when you married the sister, the wife was alive, but now she's dead. She died later. In that case, havlad rishon mamzer, any child born before the news is a mamzer, v'achron eno mamzer. And any child born after he finds out that she is really dead is not a mamzer. And we had a similar situation in previous Mishnayos as well. Now for the complicated part. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Now Rabbi Yossi is going to say a different point of view. And the Gemara says that this is discussing something that's previously implied in the Mishnah, but wasn't openly stated in our Mishnah. Now, the basic idea in our parak is that a woman who remarries, if there's one witness, is in big trouble if he comes back because of the fact that she didn't do her due diligence to make sure he was dead. Rabbi Yossi, however, didn't say that. We heard Rabbi Yossi in a previous Mishnah say that no, what we're worried about is not that she didn't do due diligence. It's that an onlooker might think that it is easier to remarry without gittin than it really is. So Rabbi Yossi's point of view is always not that this is a penalty on her, but that this is maras ayin essentially, and that we're worried that other people are going to think the wrong things. Now Rabbi Yossi's case that he's going to talk about is going to be a different situation. Rabbi Yossi is going to say now, kol sheposel al yedei acherim, anybody who disqualifies for other people, posel al yedei atzmo, also disqualifies for himself. Kol she'eino posel al yedei acherim, eino posel al yedei atzmo. And anybody who does not disqualify for others does not disqualify for himself. What is the situation here? A case where there is a fear of mistaken incest. Just like the other Mishnah, he was worried about mistaken adultery. People will think that you don't need a get, or that he didn't give her a get, or that the situation is much worse than it is. So we made a gzera based on what they'll think. In a case of marrying the sisters, the same thing could happen. Here's the case that Rabbi Yosef is talking about. And again, it doesn't get explicitly told in our Mishnah, so it takes some telling. One guy is married to a woman. So Reuven is married to Rachel. And another guy, not related, Yosef is married to Leah, her sister. So you have two guys married to two sisters, two brothers-in-law. Now, in this case, the wife of the first guy, Rachel, the wife of Reuven, goes overseas with the brother-in-law, Yosef. For whatever reason, the two of them are on the same plane. And when somebody comes back and says that the plane crashed, it was Malaysian Airways, so Reuven marries Leah. Because at this point, we assume that a sister is dead and Leah's husband is dead. He can't marry Achos Ishto while she's alive, but he thinks that she's dead, so he marries Achos Ishto. Not only that, but the second husband we think is dead too, so she's available. So she marries him back. Great. Then what happens? Well, if it was going to be a penalty situation, then everybody would have to divorce everybody else. But according to Rav Yossi, if she remarried thinking her husband is dead and then he comes back, so Yosef and Leah actually are still married because Yosef comes back, then people might think she was married to Reuven. So she would need a divorce from Reuven. But in this case, where the second man that she married was her sister's husband, nobody would think that she was really married to him. So she does not need a divorce from the guy she married second. She can return to her regular husband as long as he's not a Kohen, because then she would be a Zona. So in this case, in the Tanakhama's view, where we say that it's all penalties based on not doing due diligence, then everybody gives a get and everybody's stuck out in the cold. According to Rav Yossi, who says that it's only based on what people will think, nobody will think that she was married to an Erva if something this spectacular happens where it turns out the plane didn't crash. So they'll say the second marriage wasn't a real marriage. She can go back to her first husband. His wife can go back to him, which he could do. She could do anyway, because it wasn't her Erva that was a problem. It was him with her sister. And so what we say is that nobody is going to be forbidden to anybody. So according to Rav Yossi, if a man marries his wife's sister because he thought that the wife and the brother-in-law are dead, and then they return, it depends, as long as he did nisuin completely, then everybody can return to their proper husbands and wives, and everything is fine. So there's no difference between the wife and the sister-in-law in terms of the status. The status is based on what really happened, and we're not worried about what people will think. So anybody who disqualifies himself for others, disqualifies for himself, refers to an Erusin situation. His first wife went overseas with the brother-in-law, but his wife was only Erusin to him. Then he married the second wife with a complete Nisuin. When her husband and his Erusin come back, everybody is disqualified for everybody. Leah is disqualified for her real husband, and Rachel is disqualified for himself because she's the sister of his divorced second wife, Leah. Essentially, what we say is since it was only Erusin, the second marriage to the sister-in-law had some effect. And so, as it had some effect, the get is a real get. Once she's divorced from him, her sister is still usher to him too, so he gets nobody. But anybody who's eino posel yedei acherim, where they were fully married, both couples, then he doesn't have to give a divorce, because according to Rabbi Yossi only, other people won't think the worst. If other people won't think the worst, then he's eino posel al yedei acherim. He doesn't qualify for his sister-in-law. She can go back to her husband. He can take back his wife. Everybody goes back together, and they have a charming story to tell at family reunions. Mishnah Hey, Harry Potter and the Five Half-Sisters. Another complicated Mishnah. Amr lo mesa ishtecha. So here we go. We had a story in the previous one where he thought his wife was dead, so he married her sister and tried to keep it all in the family. Now we have a guy who's going to marry five half-sisters in a row, and he's going to end up in being big trouble. So a guy says, Mesa Ishtecha, they tell him his wife died. Two witnesses. So he doesn't have to check up on anything. He says, my wife is dead. Alas. Venosa Achosa Me'aviha. So he marries her half-sister. So wife A had a half-sister from her father, paternal half-sister, Me'aviha, from the father. Mesa. Then witnesses come and tell him that wife B has died. Wife B has a half-sister from her mother, Venosa Achosa Me'ima. So here we go. Wife A and B are paternal half-sisters. Wife B and C are maternal half-sisters from their same mother. A and C are not related to each other except through the mutual half-sister that they have. So now he's been married three times. And then they come and tell him, Mesa, Wife C has died. Venasa achosa me'aviha. He marries wife D, who's a half-sister from the father of wife C. So here we go again. Wife A was his original wife. She died, at least so he was told. He marries her half-sister from the father, A to B. B dies, he is told. So he marries her half-sister from her mother. She dies, so he marries the half-sister from the father again. Why is he following this pattern? Because if they were complete sisters, any of them, there would be achos ishto problems, and we don't want to make it that easy. We want to make it complicated. So v'nos achosa me'aviha, now he's married to his fourth wife, wife D. So far, A and B are paternal half-sisters. B and C from the mother half-sisters. C and D from the father half-sisters. And now they say Mesa, she died again. Number D. So Venasa Chosa Me'ima, he marries her maternal half-sister, wife E, five times. So A and B were from their same father. B and C were from the same mother. C and D were from the same father. D and E were from the same mother. So we have altogether three mothers and three fathers, and all of these different half-sisters coming in. V'nitzu kulom kayamos. So, of course, everything was too good to be true, and it turns out that all five of them are alive. Ay, 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 the first four wives who we thought were dead reappear. Who is he allowed to stay married to? So we say Mutter Barishona, his first wife he can stay with. She wasn't dead. He's allowed to have multiple wives, so he can stay with her. But he can't stay with the second wife, because she's Achos Ishto. On the other hand, Bashlishis, he can stay with the third wife. Because remember, A and C are not related. They're not half-sisters at all. But he can't stay married to D, the fourth wife, because she's half-sister to the third one. So therefore, Uvachamishis, he can keep the fifth wife, wife E. So stay with me here. I know you can do it. He had five wives, A, B, C, and D. A and B were half-sisters. B and C were half-sisters from the mother. C and D were half-sisters from the father. D and E were half-sisters from the mother. He can keep the odd number of wives. His first wife, the third one, who's not related to the first one, and the fifth one, who's not related to either of the other two. But the even-numbered wives, he can't stay married to. Upotros Sorsan, and by the way, if the husband would now die and there's yibum to be done, then the Yavam can perform Yibum with any one of these three, 1, 3, and 5, widows. The Yibum is valid, and the other Tsaros, the other two, are released from Yibum. They're all legal wives to this one guy, so they would be Tsaros, and that would be fine. The Aser Bishnei Obervias, but the ones he's forbidden to are the second and the fourth. They are the links between the wives. And number two and number four are half-sisters to everybody else, one way or another. Since they are Achos Ishto to all the other three, he has to let go of them. Vein biasachas mehem potras sarasa. And if the husband dies and the brother performs yibum with one of the forbidden even wives, 2 and 4, that's not yibum. The marriages were never allowed in this case. And so the true widows aren't released from yibum. It would be a meaningless bia. And that is not going to potra the tzara. Vein bo'al ashniel achar misas rishona. But if wife A dies and then he marries wife B, so only the last four are alive, Mutar Bishnia Ubarvias Upotros Tsarosan. Then, so here we go. Now we have the husband. He's got five wives, A, B, C, D, and E. But this time, it turns out of the five, the first one is dead. Now, in the old case, 1, 3, and 5 were not related to anybody else. In this case, now he only has 2, 3, 4, and 5. So, wife B, wife number 2, is a half-sister to C. Wife D, number 4, is also a half-sister to C. And wife E, number 5, is a half-sister to D. What he can do this time is Mutter Bishnia Uvarvias. He can keep wives 2 and 4. Once wife A has died, her sister, her half-sister, is no longer an invalid marriage. And that was the first one. So that is considered his first wife now. Therefore, wife 2 he can keep. Wife 3 he can't. She's half-sister to wife number 2, wife B. And so as a result, she has to go. Wife D, number 4, he can keep because she's not related to wife number 2. But wife E, number 5, is half-sister to number 4. So he can't keep her either. So he keeps 2 and 4 by virtue of who came first. Number 2 is considered his new first wife. And so the progression goes with them. If this is not too complicated, the old wife's 2 and 4 have now become 1 and 3 as it were, because wife two is now his first wife. So now we start the numbers from her, and we skip every middle one, because the middle ones are half-sisters. So then he can keep wives number two and four in the old version, Upodras Tsarasayan, and if he dies and somebody performs Yibum with B, then wife D is Pater, because they're Tsaros, they're not related to each other. V'aser b'shlishas u'v'chamishas, he is aser with the third and fifth wives, because again, they are now the middle erva connections of Achos Ishto, so he can't take the even wives. The old three and five are now his new two and four, because wife number two is now wife number one, so the middle wives, what we're calling shlishas and chamishas, are aser to him. Vein b'as achas mehen poter sarasa, and like in the previous case, since they are aser to him, if he dies and somebody tries to do yivum with one of the aser wives, since the aser wives are aser to him, their yibum is not enough of a yibum to pater everybody else. It's a just a bia and not an act of yibum, so the co-wives are not released, and he has to do it with one of the real wives.